Starting tomorrow, I'm no longer just a shipping clerk. I'm chairman of the board.
And it's all because of...
Freaking.com.
All right. Can you hear me, Russell? I have started the recorder.
Yep, I can hear you.
Good. This is the New Hampshire Exit Podcast, a.k.a. the New Hampshire Exit Meeting, or whatever you want to call it, for us, for the weekly meeting for Sunday, January 9th. Looks like Therese Grinnell is joining us. Hi, Therese. And she's waving loudly, but you're not going to, if you're listening to this as a podcast, the waving is not going to get through. Okay, there she is, all the way. All right. So I'm, as usual, I'm kind of scrambling to find my list of news items. I think I may have a session disconnected message here. Is anyone still with me?
I can hear you, no problem.
So we're talking...
While you're gathering your notes, does Therese have something you were going to bring up?
Therese, he wants to know if you've got anything you wanted to bring up first.
No, my understanding was at 1 o'clock you guys were going to talk a little bit about the upcoming hearing on the 20th for succession. So I'm definitely intrigued by that dialogue if that's what's going on. And then I think at 1:30... we invited a larger group of Liberty Leadership groups to come together and just quickly discuss in 2 minutes or less what their main objective is for their group and what are their tangible activities that they're doing to reach their objective. Part of why I'm here is I'm very new to the scene. I'm still getting to know who everybody is and all the different Liberty groups. But we do have quite a large group of people who know things are terribly, terribly wrong and want to know what to do to fix it. And so I keep trying to feed out to the population that's in my sphere of influence with who's doing what, where they can get involved, and just educate them as to different ways to help New Hampshire stay as liberty-minded as possible.
Yeah, there's this saying, if you're green, you're growing. If you're ripe, you're dying. So it's nice to have new blood. And you know, the other thing, I guess it was some of the people maybe in the Gene Sharp community or just you know people who really understand you know political movements have a saying that the last thing you want is your veterans, your negative Nancys who are telling everyone else how they can't do it and why the bumblebee can't fly. So it's and sometimes I get to be like that, you know. So it's nice to have new blood like you.
Yeah, I have a 6 and 7 year old, so no is not an option for me.
So we'll talk about the meeting on the 20th. But first, I was going to ask you, where are you meeting at 1:30?
Here.
Oh, here. Okay.
On the Jitsi, just on the Jitsi call. It's a knee meeting.
Yeah, Dave was nice enough to let us use this forum. So we use this time slot since it was already
okay, excellent.
We don't know how, we didn't really get it out quickly enough. So we don't know how many, what kind of participation we'll have. But, you know, if it seems productive and that people actually find it useful, then perhaps we'll do it every other week or something, once a month or something. I just feel like all the Liberty groups, there's so many that if we could all come together in some capacity, even if it's just understanding what each other's doing, it would serve us all well.
Hey, how are you feeling, Therese? We're not making you talk on a sore throat, are we?
No, I don't have a sore throat. I am congested. For those that don't know, my significant other and I tested positive on Tuesday. We're doing great. We're following the protocols. I stacked 100 bales of hay yesterday in my barn, so I'm doing pretty good, just achy and stuffy. I also tested positive for influenza A, so I have flurona, I guess. But I am doing well. We've got the vitamin C and the zinc and the HCQ and the ivermectin, and it really just feels like a head cold. So we're doing okay. Oh, but lots
yeah,
of others.
If you say ivermectin, they might JR you. That's something else we probably need to talk about at some point today.
Yeah.
They're key liberty activists. They tried to come for his kids partly one of the complaints was apparently that he was using ivermectin because they had tested positive for COVID or had COVID or something.
Yeah, I was on the phone all morning this morning. That's been a big part of what I've been doing lately, those coming along families that do have loved ones in the hospital and helping to advocate with Dr. Strang just to make sure that they're on an antibiotic, that they're checking for bacterial infection as well as the viral infection and hydration and nutrition. And so it's been very, very busy this last couple of weeks. Just there's a lot of people who are very, very sick. So if you don't have, you know, the medications on hand, I strongly encourage that you get them. I really do believe if we could do one thing, if I was queen for the day for one thing, it would be to have treatment care packages available for everyone as soon as they test positive and have them on the right medications right away. We would not have the hospital stays, I do not believe, and I don't believe we'd have the death tolls that we're seeing. So, and it would, you know, take all the steam out of this stupid pandemic that we're facing that's affecting everything. But, you know, we all know that that's, I don't know, if we could collectively all make that happen somehow, I think that would be the root of all evils right now.
Yeah. Speaking of the other root of evils, we are having our first real strike at the root in New Hampshire, I think, maybe since at least HCR9. In 2009, where the New Hampshire Independence Amendment will come before committee on January 20th, CACR 32, authorizing a referendum of the people as to whether we remain in the Union. And that's, I guess I'm hearing it's going to be at 3:30 p.m. On the 20th, but I've also heard 3 p.m., and I'm sure there will probably be, most people would want to actually probably show up more like 2 p.m. because there should be a demonstration. It hasn't been scheduled yet, but I'm sure it will be somewhere near the State House, very close to the State House. But I just don't know. I don't know the details on that yet. Hearing also another confusing matter is that the hearing is so late in the day. There's a good chance that it will start, you know, at 4 or 5 or something like that, and they'll only get a few minutes into it, and then they'll say, well, we can't do anymore. We got to go. You know, we're all geriatric, and we all got to go take our naps. So we will continue this hearing to another date. So this could, I don't know when they would continue it to. My guess is it would be weeks later, but they might continue it the next day for all I know. So there could be some confusion, and you just want to go, people will have to keep their ear real close to the ground, to know when the next hearing is going to be or the next part of the hearing is going to be.
I also wonder what will happen when will they find out that we're going to have a lot of us there and we're not going to fit?
Well, that's actually not, we're not certain about that yet. I don't know that. I can't claim that we're going to have a large turnout. We're going to try, but I don't know. Not going to fit. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So they might put it into a larger room or whatnot. But, you know, so I think it's like kind of like Churchill used to say, you know, he liked the British Parliament building because it was too small. It always made it look like they were all more important than they really were because they were all crammed in there.
I know in this case, in the old days, they would have moved us over to the biggest room, but it seems like right now they don't meet in that big hall. They meet like in a conference place at a hotel, right?
I thought they were meeting at the State House, and that the hearing was going to be at the Legislative Office Building.
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is, when they all meet, all of them together, and take a vote, they're meeting like at a conference place at a Hilton.
Oh yeah.
So if we're too big for the legislative building, we normally would have gone to that big hall, but I don't think they want us all crammed in there. So I'm not sure what will happen.
I mean, if they'll probably take, they may take the biggest hearing of the day if it's big enough, and then put it in the main hall, the representatives hall. And you know, I don't know if that'll be us or not. But I don't see any reason why they couldn't use representatives hall for their biggest hearing.
Yeah, they just aren't right now, so we'll see.
Yeah, I just can't imagine they would say, well, we need to cram people in closer together so that they don't get COVID. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so that's the only thing I know.
One thing that will be helpful at this hearing is if usually people come back from the hearing and they have great a massive long recording of bad audio, right? And it's just not even worth listening to. So what'll happen is someone will get a microphone right up next to, you know, they'll actually tape it right to the other microphone that they're speaking into. So, you know, whether, you know, I get like the microphone has to be within 3 feet of the person speaking, right? So hopefully someone will get a digital audio recorder and just slap it right on the microphone they're speaking into, or put it right on the table where the speakers will be speaking, and that will set us apart from other hearings.
Are you planning on going inside for this, Dave?
No, I can't be there. I'll still be in Colorado on the 20th.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I will have to make my my mark on the situation electronically as best I can.
So my take on it, just so you know, Dave, with the people, you know, that are within We the People, is, you know, we never imagined 12 months ago we'd be where we are right now. And, you know, I hope that we can get to a next fair election. I hope that we can somehow keep our jobs and be able to get to work and provide for our children and educate our children safely and continue to march forward. But we are seeing, you know, legislation even in New York where, you know, if you're a health hazard without a trial, they're talking about legislation where they can, you know, isolate and quarantine you and potentially put you in prison, right? And we've seen that in Australia. So who knows where we're going to be 12 months from now. And I don't want to leave anything off the table. So why not open as many doors as possible and discern, you know, come time to vote, whether or not that's something we want to walk through or not. I do believe we can take back our towns, and we've started smaller pods for our school boards and getting the voting machines out of our towns. And I'm hoping we can save our state. But I'm worried that the mothership, the federal government, is lost at sea right now. And as much as I love America, and as much as I would want to be part of the United States of America, at the end of the day, I tell everyone, I do not want to be running through the woods with a 6 and a 7-year-old that are still in pull-ups at night and trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with the beans and rice I have in my basement. Like, that's just not a viable option. So, you know, how many options do we all have collectively as Liberty Leads to get us out of the mess that seems to be all around us? Healthcare is so broken right now. There's just politically the fact that the state mandate got shot down this week, you know, because of a scorecard saying that that was an infringement on businesses. I just, everywhere I look, I get more and more concerned that it's going to be something dramatic that gets us to preserve constitutional rights.
Hey, Therese, just a second. What thing got shut down this week? I don't think everybody knows.
So we had legislation by Tim Lang that was to stop mandates from being a criteria for employment in the state of New Hampshire. And unfortunately, the Liberty Alliance scored it as not being liberty-minded because it was basically telling businesses how who they can employ and how they can employ their employees, which is, you know, for a Liberty Alliance to do that was disappointing, to say the least. I sent them an email, let them know that I thought that their logic was very flawed. Because of that, a majority of the Republicans did not want to vote on something that would be part of their scorecard in a negative light. Although there was state reps, Leah Cushman being one of them, that had an amendment that could have gone first that would have, one, taken that legislation out of the school scorecard equation and still allowed those Republican legislators who knew very well after 2 days of testimony at the State House that that's what us constituents wanted for the state of New Hampshire, to go ahead and vote and stop and block mandates from being, you know, vaccination mandates being part of the criteria to sustain employment with businesses here in New Hampshire. So it would have been a provision to help the vaccine mandates here in the state. And unfortunately, it was tabled, and tabled pretty much feels like it was killed because we have the Supreme Court voting on it probably tomorrow at the federal level, which is going to be a harder beast to slay. So that's my understanding. Others may understand it better than I do. Like I said, I'm the new kid on the block, so I probably get some of it messed up in my head, but that's kind of my summary of what I understood happened this week on that legislation.
Yeah, it may be worth running by some people at the Liberty Alliance bills of that nature, because if you can tweak them a little bit, it probably would have been more likely to pass. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was like within the parameters of something that most of the Liberty legislators, I think, would have voted for. It just slightly differently.
Yeah, I was very disappointed they couldn't figure that out before the vote.
I have to disagree. I think we're a little bit off topic, but I have to disagree with you, Mr. Penguin. The New Hampshire Liberty Alliance tends to take a pro-liberty stance, which means that if someone wants to run their company like a little tyranny, they should be free to do that. So
yeah, but, perspective. But Ian, what I mean is, if you had tweaked it to apply to government, it would probably have been within
the- they already passed that. That was last year.
Oh, they did. Oh,
yeah. New Hampshire already has a prohibition on government mandated vaccine mandates.
So that's okay. I didn't know that.
We're recording, by the way. We're recording.
But let's talk about New Hampshire independence and how we can get more people to turn out on the 20th.
So, like I was saying, I'm just going to roll it out to my group that let's leave all the options on the table. I'm trying to look at as many different liberty groups, all their ideas on how to protect liberties and constitutional rights, and whether there be parallel paths that we go down, and finding out who the rhinos are, replacing them, keeping legislation on the table that would separate us from tyranny. I just feel like we need to be open-minded and not shut the door on anything. So that's kind of the narrative I'm going to be giving to people, to at least keep the doors open on this and not slam it shut that it's a, you know, too far-reaching of an idea. If nothing else, I think it's going to tell our legislators we are at the point where we are willing to take drastic means to preserve our families, our jobs, our livelihoods, and our freedoms.
Yeah, something else you should point out to them, I think, is that this bill isn't independence. It's just going to, or the constitutional amendment is that's being voted on anyway, is just to allow or put it on the ballot so people can vote on independence. So if in, you know, a year or whatever, when it actually ends up on our ballot, If it ends up being that it is time to vote yes, then we can do so. And if people side no, things have gone somehow a miracle has happened and things have gotten way better or something, and we don't want to do it, then we can vote no. But
Ian, Dan Richard here. How are you, Dave?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dan.
Thank you for the invitation, gentlemen. Hi, Therese. I don't know anyone else. I'd like to pipe in for a minute and share some thoughts. Again, thank you for the invitation. The first thing I want to say is full disclosure. These are my opinions only. Everyone's entitled to move in any direction they feel that is appropriate for their agenda. I appreciate Therese and others who are trying to unify so we don't replicate services and replicate efforts. We're in uncharted territory. The only people who've ever had to deal with this are the founding fathers, right? Several hundred years ago. And I would argue that the oppression is the same. It's simply a new master and a new monster. The same monster, just a new face in a new time period. I want to touch on elections real quick. Elections are a joke. Okay. The legislature is a joke. The entire if anyone thinks that we have a legislative solution to our problems, I respectfully disagree. The entire system is broke. I completely concur with separating ourselves from the corporation, the United States government. It's bankrupt. It's both financially bankrupt and morally bankrupt. And it operates exclusively by fraud. So I don't know that we necessarily have that as a solution moving forward. The system will not fix itself. And the amount of legal, and my legal efforts, just so anyone who's following me and knows me, I'm not advocating that we have legal solutions either. I'm simply going through the legal process to prove a point. Article 10, Right of Revolution, has a key element to it. And that key element is that you have to exhaust all effective means of redress of grievance. And that's what my litigation is doing, is to prove that even if you go through the hoops and the process and the legislation, my journey began several years ago when I filed my remonstrance with the legislature, which should be the mechanism that we all should be able to use today. But the GOP and the Democrats have kicked the people out of the state house. They don't want us involved. They are scared to death right now in the Supreme Court, or the state is, with the Supreme Court case I have, which is that the people would actually be allowed to file a remonstrance, a protest that, hey, this statute is repugnant and contrary to the Constitution. And you, my representative, the trustee, as the beneficiary of the trust, I'm demanding that you repeal those things which you cannot do. And they just laugh at us now. So it's a broken system. So I went through the problem. Yeah.
Dan, could we have a minute to talk about independence first? Because at 1:30, we're going to have a flood of people and we're not going to be able to talk about independence much anymore. We should talk about your thing during the 1:30 meeting. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine. And I'll just transition quickly from where I was into independence. So I brought this point up only to make the point of that the process by which we're trying to seek independence now isn't the end of the road. In other words, even if it doesn't work, there are plenty of other mechanisms that we can use to undo the monster. But that's my goal. And I completely concur with this agenda of separating ourselves from this bankrupt institution.
Yeah, I agree. So what do you guys think we can do to make the independence hearing on January 20th more interesting, specifically, especially with a demonstration beforehand, or any other ideas of how we can improve the turnout, et cetera?
Yeah, Therese, would you be able to gather? You're good at organizing. Would you be able to gather some of your people to come out on the 20th?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think to answer that question, I think one, we have to focus on, we never thought 12 months ago we'd be where we are now. So let alone 12 months from now, where will we be and how desperate will we be to get free? And then Dan's point would be the second point. We've tried everything under the sun and we're getting nowhere. We're getting laughed at. We're getting flicked off the back of the elephant's butt and no one's paying attention. No one's following the law. We're in a lawless state as it is. So driving that home, you know, as to a reason why we need to get this civil divorce, as Eliot would articulate it in his articles, put together. So, you know, and then I think continuing to educate people as to the questions they have about if we separate from the federal government, you know, 30% of our budget comes from them. Yeah, but if we saved our taxes, like all the arguments that go back and forth as to doing this. Someone else was arguing with me over the weekend, goods and services, you know, the federal government will just cut us off from getting any goods and services in the supply chain. And, you know, we would be in dire straits that way. So those questions, I think we need to continue to work on educating the public. For me, social media, short little blurbs. So a screen that has four bullet points on it is what people can digest right now. They're too busy. My population are working full-time moms, trying to get the kitty litter done, you know, change the laundry over, get the dishes done. And they don't have time to really dive deep and absorb a whole lot. And they're not to be blamed for that. That's just the reality of our troops. So we have to make it really short and sweet for them to understand what it is they're grabbing onto and what exactly it is we need to have them do. We're also running into a season where every other day people want us at the state house to fight for something, right? So I have to kind of be the one to pick and choose. You know, vaccine mandates was huge. Voter integrity is going to be huge. And then on the 20th, this is going to be huge. So I'm trying to pick one big one every week. We do have people who can freedom fight full time and they don't have to take time off from work. And we probably have a good 30, 40 people I can depend on steadfast to show up wherever I say point go. And then we pick up another 20, 30 people that are just happen to have time off or can get there or feel passionate about it. But I will try and drum up as many people as I can, do a Facebook Live to try and help educate them as to why we want to keep this option open, and definitely try to support it.
Are they going to kick this meeting to another location and try to obstruct this presentment using that tactic again? Dave?
I mean, anything. It's a possibility. Mark Edge has suggested one up. He's a Free Talk Live co-host. He's suggested that what may happen is they might vote in favor of it and then vote against it while we're not there. he says they've actually done that before.
Anything's possible.
Hey, Daniel.
Yes.
This is Russell. I talked to you last year. You came on the NHX podcast. Are you going to be there on the 20th?
I'm not sure yet. I've been asked to go, and I'm going to try to make it. So I'm going to try to make it a priority. My other lawsuit, I'm going to hear from the state's got to answer by the 21st. So the 20th works for me because the lawyers always wait to the last day that they're required to answer the court. They always do it.
Okay. Do you guys, out of all you guys, do you think we should try to meet outside the place, like way before the 3 o'clock or 3:30 thing, or should we try to do stuff outside afterwards? What do you guys think?
Dave, I was thinking. Well, I think it was your idea actually. A 2 o'clock like protest outside, just before the meeting, if we can get enough people to go, and if people are already going to go, and there are going to be lots of people going, that would be a good time because we'd actually have a pretty good crowd of protest too. Especially if Therese here can you know attract her crowd, because we'll have her crowd and we'll have our crowd, and you know we'll have a few different crowds. Maybe Joa and some other people would also be able to attract some people. So
there's also something that goes on at some state house hearings or just before them, right inside the front door of the legislative office building to the left. There's a podium, and frequently state reps that want to kind of make a show will put on a press conference in that area. And so that could be something. If you want, I can reach out to Mike Sylvia and see if he wants to lead something like that, and then we could have some key people, Therese or whoever else wants to, you know, speak for a couple minutes, just kind of, you know, prefacing the bill, introducing it sort of to the public and to the media. Not that the media will guarantee that they're going to show up, but it might give, you know, if we can send out an invite, I've got a press release list, and let them know that there will be one of those things that might get some a camera out there. Who knows?
Has anyone spoken to Reopen, and have they responded in any way? Because they have a huge database of people and activists.
Yeah, that's a good point. Does I know Andrew to some extent, but one of you guys might know him better.
So I did reach out to Andrew and JR for the 1:30. So at 1:30, I sure, you know, as we go around the room, Dave, you'll have an opportunity to talk about succession and what's coming up on the 20th. And my hopes is as we go around the room, everyone will have just an awareness of what options we have for 2022 in general, just by listening to each other's groups. And then perhaps support, hey, you know, this makes sense to get behind this because we may all want this in 12 months. So I did invite them, or Kelly, I should say, it was last minute, so I don't know. But Andrew and JR and I have a really good working relationship right now. So I'll talk to JR if they're not able to join us at 1:30 and see if it's something they would entertain with the reopen group. It might be a little stretch for Andrew. I don't know.
Yeah, and my immediate concern is that they may be ideologically opposed to this agenda, but maybe they might at least submit it to their membership to consider. I know I'm going to do the same when people bring stuff to my attention. I post it within Committee of Safety and let the group, those individuals, make those choices as to it's whether one, they have time, and two, if it's something that they're passionate about to move on.
Right.
I might have missed the announcement. What is happening at 1:30, and is it happening here? Can someone clear that up?
So yeah, at 1:30, Dave and I had a talk early this week, and it's something, it just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up, that all these liberty groups, if we could really all come together, there's so much we could do to fight for this state. And of course, when I said that to somebody, that we're going to do a call and just invite everybody onto it and quickly in 2 minutes go around, tell me your group's main objective for 2022 and what action items are you currently involved in to meet that objective, just so that we all have an awareness of all the other groups. And if we could do that civilly without anyone disparaging each other in any sort of fashion, maybe that would just be a good starting point for us to have productive monthly work sessions where we start to say, you know, this is my lane over here, but I'm not going to duplicate efforts. Like, I didn't realize that COS was doing a liberty directory, and I didn't realize somebody else was putting together people who want to create a new medical healthcare option. And just, you know, at least be able to start focusing on the bigger picture of freedom and constitutional rights. Because if you take a look at, maybe I'm the naive new kid on the block, but if you take our Republicans, our real Republicans, and you take our constitutionalists, and you take our libertarians, and you take a majority of our independents, we are such the majority in this state. And yet we have been squeezed into a corner so quickly that if we could combine forces on a couple of the big topics and all show up, we might be able to really freak the heck out of Sununu and everyone who feels that they have to stay aligned to him and his tyranny. So that's kind of the bigger, broader spectrum of doing this. But I keep hearing people say it would be nice if we could all come together somehow. So we're going to attempt that at 1:30 at a very surface level. And part of it was, how many people can we get behind this on 1:20 to keep it alive? And really, if nothing else, freaks Sununu and the GOP out that, hey, there's a huge population of people who are actually serious about something this dramatic, because they are not happy and they're watching and paying attention to what we've been doing.
I think it's a great idea, honestly. You know, and it's interesting. If you can make it not too specific enough and figure out what everybody agrees on, you'll probably also have more support too. So you just kind of have to tweak it, like tweak what issues you're kind of focused on, because there's a lot of overlap, and sometimes we get too specific in what we want. But if we broaden it just a little bit, it then becomes more supportable amongst, you know, this population, the larger population.
We had what's the organization, Americans for Prosperity, lead by example on that very issue this week when they announced that they're going to work with the ACLU, two diametrically opposed institutions. who are going to get together to fight a single common cause. Yeah. And so that's, you know, it's part of the course they teach at building a coalition. And you know, I agree with Teresa, and I think everyone on this call is on the call for that same reason, to try to build a coalition over those things which unite us and that we can agree to move forward on.
Yeah, the SEOL has definitely been good at the national level anyway. They were good about, and New Hampshire's even better, but they even worked with like the KKK at one point, which I thought is just, that's in the history books. It lost them a lot of members actually, but it was for the principle, you know. You had to keep right. I think it was like right to speech and or right to protest basically. And if the KKK lose that right, then so did the rest of us. So it really was within their prerogative to support, in a sense, the KKK.
What's the old adage? The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
So, Dave, I feel bad if I hijacked your standing call, but I appreciate your willingness to do this. So I want to make sure you guys had enough time to talk about what's happening on the 20th. And then as we're getting close to 1:30, I'll talk about what happened between 1 and 1:30 and the purpose of your original call and why you guys are meeting every week at this time about succession. And then just the bigger picture, trying to bring all the Liberty groups together for awareness of each other.
I think we're all happy to have more people here and talk. So that's great.
All right.
Yeah. So in the last 2 minutes before 1:30, anyone else have any suggested action items related to the January 20th hearing or other imminent action items related to New Hampshire independence?
Do we want to set a 2:00 time for a protest just in advance right now, or is that not something that's a good time to do?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
I love it.
Therese, does that work for you? Promote 2:00 on the 20th?
I'll reach out to you and Elliot, and we'll figure out how we get that promoted throughout We the People. We have on the 21st, our the 9 of us that were arrested, our arraignment, our next trial is on the next day. So we'll see. We'll get it, though.
Penguin, do you want to have that out front of the State House, which is the sort of standard protest location, or do you want to have it in front of the Legislative Office Building, which is one street over where the actual hearing is going to be? And that's where all the state reps are going to be coming in and out of. If you're out in front of the State House, obviously you're going to get the drive-by traffic. But if you're out in front of the Legislative Office Building, you're going to get the actual eyeballs of the state reps.
Let's plan for the Legislative Building then. So where the hearing's being held. So that's perfect.
Yeah, I think we should be at whatever the place is that's going to be the hearing. Of course, that might change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless it changes, but before, you know, the 20th, let's plan to meet at the Legislative Building, because that's where the hearing is. 2:00. That sounds good to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start.
I'll reach out to Mitch Colbia and see if he wants to head up a press conference, maybe at like 3:00 or something like that inside. But most importantly, we got to get the word out to our networks and our friends. So yeah. Social media points, wherever else people think is appropriate to share it away. There's an article I wrote over at nhexit.us. It's got the email address for the committee. People who can't attend should absolutely reach out to the committee. Even if you can't attend, you still might want to. But that's a way that people can participate, even if they're going to be working that day, is they can reach out to the, not only to the committee, but eventually to, of course, their own state reps in their area.
Yeah, if you guys have a call to action, I know Elliot had like an email where people could email and ask to, you know, keep this on the ballot and let it be something that the voters can vote on later this year. Those call to actions work really well with my population because a lot of them are working, but they do stop and take the time to email and make phone calls. So,
do you need something written up for that, Teresa?
Yeah, if you have anything, just shoot it to me. I kind of have the older stuff that Elliot had in his articles. So if it's the same, I could probably use that. But if there's anything new,
you want me to send you over some bullet points or like a couple paragraphs?
Yeah, bullet points. Okay. Probably better.
What's your email address, your best one?
Yep, it is my first and last name @gmail.com still.
Got it.
So it looks like everyone's jumping on. I'm just going to quickly let you know how we got here, what this meeting's about. I know it was really, really short notice, and apologize for that. Kelly and I have had a lot of competing priorities, as everyone has this week. But Dave had reached out to me. Elliot has been writing articles about succession, and all of you know I'm the green bean. I'm the new kid on the block. I'm trying to figure everything out and what is the best option for all of us to get to preserve our jobs, our schools, our lives, and our independence, right? And I'm not going to take anything off the table. So I'm kind of wide open to everyone's ideas, and I'm trying to figure out all the different liberty groups. There's so many people doing so many amazing things that it does make my head spin sometimes. But trying to figure out who everyone is, what their group is about, what they're working on, are there duplicates of effort? How can we join forces together? And I've had so many conversations with so many of you that said, man, if we all were somehow united, we are the majority. We are the strong voice of New Hampshire. If we took all of the right Republicans, not the rhinos, we took all of our constitutionalists, we took all of our libertarians, and we took all of our independent voters that are liberty-minded, we are by far the majority in this state. And we could do a lot to really push to Nunu. And being fractured or scattered doesn't always work in our advantage. But yet we all have different passions. We all have different objectives that we're working on that are valuable, that are meaningful. And just to understand what is the number one objective for your group right now, and what actual tangible action item are you doing for that objective, so that the rest of us, one, are aware, and two, if we have capacity, could be the wind in your sail and help support your objective. So with that, if we could have a way to come together and not disparage each other in any way, but be supportive and do something productive, maybe it would make sense to do this on a monthly basis. So that was kind of the backdrop. Dave was coming to me with this idea of succession from the federal government, which sounds very extreme at first, but I wanted to hear him out. And I've had a lot of conversations with Elliot. And truth be said, none of us thought 12 months ago we'd be where we are today. And none of us know where we're going to be 12 months from now. So to keep something open that we as voters could vote on in 12 months, I don't see any harm in saying that we want to keep that as a potential option. So I'm going to be encouraging my group to at least keep it on the table. If nothing else, it sends a very loud message to our legislators right now that there is a population of constituents that are so upset about what's been going on that we're willing to start to entertain very extreme measures. I do not want to grab a bug out bag and go running through the woods with my two little boys. So I am willing to let these legislators know that yes, even the idea of seceding from the federal government is something I'm not going to close the door on right now. I am not going to look at legislation in New York where they could potentially deem me a hazard to society, a health hazard, and without a trial, put me in some sort of quarantine or isolation. If that's where we're at in 12 months, and we look at all the efforts of Dan Richard, and we've done everything we can, and we're in a lawless situation, drastic measures might be all we've got. So that's why I pulled us all together. One, just to hear where each other's at. I'll start. I never meant to have a group, but we the people right now is to let our legislators know that we are paying attention to their every move, and we're not going to look the other way or forget what they've done. We are going to start having lunches at the Capitol cafeteria starting this week. They actually started on Friday. So whoever has time to go have lunch there is going to show up and ask their legislators how they voted on different topics, why they voted that way, what their peers are doing. And we're just going to keep showing up and letting them know that we're holding them accountable. So we're calling those the owners' meetings. The first official one will be after the court hearing for the nine of us that was arrested on January 21st. After the hearing, we're going to go down and have lunch at the Capitol, and we're just going to start showing up and being at the monthly committee meetings, phone calls. You know, we're just going to keep getting loud in front of these legislators. We're going to figure out who needs to be derooted, and we're going to try and get as many of us to run for school board, state rep, selectmen, delegates, get ourselves in these positions and hope that we can get enough good people in and that we can get voter integrity in time for it to make a difference. So that's what we the people is up to.
Can you give us the date of your court hearing, and is that going to be a trial, and what time?
Yeah, so it's going to be on Friday the 21st. We believe it's at 8 a.m. It is the trial management hearing. So it is where we expect the district attorney, if they decide to show up this time, will try and do some sort of plea bargain with our legal team. But we will do some social media. We do have the 21st. Our legal team's trying to confirm it is at 8 a.m. and it will be the trial management. Frank also has a hearing at 12:45, which we're not sure why they're doing a separate one for him, but it is Friday the 21st for us. So right now it is the lunches at the Capitol are going to be our next big thing, with the weather being bad and doing the freedom flag drives. We do those. Why do we do those? We do those because there's a lot of people out there like me that, you know, what, 15 weeks ago didn't know a single liberty group, wasn't involved politically at all, but they know something's terribly wrong and they want to get linked in. So they see us out there, they say, how do we get involved? What do we do to save our jobs? What do we do to save our schools, our hospitals? And we're just trying to bring them into the fold. And then I'm trying to educate them as best I can as I learn who all of you are and what all of you guys are up to, and how we try and take back our state. So with that, I've exceeded my 2 minutes. I don't want this to drone on all day long. I know we've got candlelight vigils for Wes and all kinds of things going on. So we'll go quickly through. And then if this is productive, we'll think about doing it again, maybe on a monthly basis, if you guys think that makes sense. So who wants to go next?
Therese, let me add to what you just said about your lawsuit on the 20th, or not your lawsuit, but your trial on the 21st. I'm keeping the AG's office busy. They're going to all have to answer by the 21st. So the governor, the executive council, the joint fiscal committee, 20 name, and the attorney general are all going to have to answer the court in Rockingham on that same day. So that's the best I can do to run interference for you and cause them some trouble.
Awesome.
My name's Dan Richard. I started with some wonderful folks, started Committee of Safety. Our goal is to do 3 things around the state: to grow in all 10 counties, a 5-member committee dedicated to do 3 things. Teach the state constitution so people know what their rights are. 2, to become active. We are in this mess now because we have allowed bad people to show up and serve in our public offices, and we now realize that that's a bad plan. But you know, from dog catcher on up, be involved. You have to be involved. That's what self-governing means. Lastly, is to teach people how to be activists, how to, not from a political point of view, but from how to serve your public servant an affidavit to instruct them to obey the Constitution, what redress of grievance is before your legislative body. And then, more importantly, possibly the skill set of learning how to defend yourself in court without a lawyer. So those are the things we're trying to teach around the state. The Committee of Safety is a concept from the Revolutionary War period. It created a temporary umbrella for those patriots who are now engaged in fighting the king. And basically, it's how the insurrection was begun and maintained. All the founding fathers were members of committees of safety. And that's the whole premise of our organization. And if I can help anyone in any way, please reach out to me. And that's what COS is trying to accomplish here in the state.
Thank you, Dan. Who's next? Dave, why don't you go? I know you've got stuff after. Dave, 83 leader.
All right, you got me? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Thanks for having me, Therese. So I'm Dave LaRue. Most of you guys probably know me, see a lot of familiar faces. So 8.3 leader, our goal for this year is to increase community we have focused a lot on events where we try to get people out and normalize being together again and normalize just being people getting together. So we're definitely going to hold a lot of events socially and try to promote that. We also have some family events that we're trying to promote because I feel like one of the things we've been missing is a lot of social activities where families are getting together and all of our little individual groups and families are missing. We see each other a lot on the street. We see each other a lot in activism or at court cases or things like that, at hearings, but our kids don't know the other kids are the, you know, we have to unite more as family units. So that's a thing that we're going to be working on. Also, we're working on bigger visibility and louder statements to kind of go along with what Teresa said. I still have my big truck and we have our big trailer. So we're still working towards building a giant rolling patriotic pride flag and independence, kind of a rolling event center. So we're still working on that. So we'll be able to go wherever we're needed and with a little bit of support, of course, to go wherever we're needed and to set up a rolling, you know, plant the flag for liberty and independence. I definitely want to push the idea that preparedness is something that people need to be doing. We're going to be rolling out some programs along with our family stuff for trying to get you guys better prepared. I know we had committees of safety, just did gunshot wound training. I used to do a lot of heavy fitness stuff. And it's not just the political activism as individuals and for our families. We need to be taking ownership of our health beyond COVID. I'm really trying to push this idea of people getting a basic level of fitness and a basic level of preparedness beyond thinking they have guns and bullets in the Patriot Circle. That's something that we all will benefit from and we all need, whether or not or whenever COVID goes away or whatever happens with the feds or that's always going to be a constant. That's always going to be here. So I'm going to try to work on that. So that's what I'm going to see moving forward with 8.3 this year. And then briefly, I just wanted to speak to the vigil. We do have the vigil coming up. Some people have asked about the weather. I'm still going to go. If you don't feel comfortable or if you have people that are contacting you, it could be snowy, could be icy. If you're not comfortable, don't come out. But we will be there. And for anybody that can't make it, that's either unable to drive in the weather or not feeling up to it. If you're feeling sick, obviously don't come. I'm going to be live streaming from my Facebook profile, the event. I just got my Facebook privileges back about a half an hour ago. So I'll be live streaming there. And once I get that stream up, everybody can send that everywhere. So everybody can see and at least tune in, support. We are praying meeting for Wes. But we have a lot of other people who we are going to recognize are dealing with this right now too. There's a lot of names, but we're kind of corralling around Wes right now. The only other thing is I am also a member and a board of directors member of New Hampshire Constitutional Republicans, along with Dan Richard and Kelly and a few others. But I thought it would be appropriate that I mention Constitutional Republicans. One of our big goals is the delegate process and getting people to fill seats. That is one of our biggest goals that we've been working on, is educating people on the process and filling seats and helping them understand how our republic has been stolen. We've worked closely with Dan Richard on that. And we've been developing programs that we will be able to take around the state to show people, lay it out step by step. This is what the law says. This is how it goes. And demonstrate how it's been stolen and demonstrate the path to take it back through owning seats, through owning the delegates, through putting pressure inside the party, and also through vetting candidates. That's kind of the other side of our attack, mobilizing people to fill seats as the delegate positions and stuff has been a hot topic, but then also developing a really streamlined vetting process and a constitutional test where we will have one yardstick to measure everybody by, and it's very, very clear. So that's something that we're working towards with Constitutional Republicans. Normally, Wes would probably be the one to speak on that. So that's where I know that Constitutional Republicans is at. Dan Richard, if you had anything else that you know that was in the pipeline with Wes, if you want to share for Constitutional Republicans, you could. But otherwise, I think I'm good.
Can you tell us where this vigil is and when this vigil is? You didn't mention that.
Correct. I will try to post a picture in the chat if I can, but it is at in Bath, New Hampshire, in their town of residence. It is not at the hospital, so we don't create any bad blood. And also, we're going to make it convenient for his wife, Betsy. We are going to Bath. I will dump the address into the chat because I don't have it up, but it's going to be up in Bath, New Hampshire. The Brick Store, if you want to Google it, the Brick Store in Bath is the kind of a landmark that you can go to, and there's street parking and there's a common area. It's all on public property. The time is 4 p.m. this afternoon, 4 to 6, 4 to 5, whatever it turns out to be based on weather and who comes.
Yeah, briefly, thank you, Dave, for bringing
actually,
that up.
I was going to speak about constitutional Republicans just because of West and stuff like that. So if you wanted me to speak on it, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, I would. Please do. Please speak up for him since he can't be here right now. I would just add that that Kelly Potenza, Wes Chapman, and myself filed a lawsuit. They were served by the sheriff on the 22nd. They have to answer the court by the 21st. They all have to get a lawyer. The charges are basically that federal money is illegal. The state Supreme Court says so. It's not my opinion. It's the court's opinion. And so we are pushing this lawsuit to put an end to our financing our own terrorism. Right. How are they oppressing us? They're using our own tax money and printing more money in order to do the BS they did to Therese and the other 8 that were arrested. I mean, that meeting shouldn't have even been held, but I digress. That's my comment. And please, whoever it was that piped in about COS, I'm sorry, New Hampshire Constitutional Republicans, go.
All right. Can I talk real quick?
I have a quick request for all groups.
Yes.
If you have an online presence and you want us to be able to find you, it would be good to maybe post that in the chat right after you talk so that we can, you know who you are and where you are, because I'm hearing of groups that I have not heard of before, and you know, I'd love to make contact and be on your list.
Awesome.
Sounds good. That is just so you know, because I know his voice, that's Jim Kolfalt from 603 Alliance. And I did a spreadsheet with Therese that lists kind of every bit of group that we could think of, and we could definitely send that out just so some have a website, some might just have a Facebook presence, but we can definitely share that out with everyone that got this invite to the call as well, because I think that would be helpful. I just wanted to speak about constitutional Republicans. A lot of us are very much involved with many different things. So as
can you speak louder? Can you speak louder? Can you speak louder and closer to the microphone? Louder and closer to the microphone.
Sorry. Is this better?
Much.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that a lot of us are very much involved in so many of these different endeavors, kind of like what David LaRue said. So, you know, David LaRue's 8.3 leader, as well as is involved with constitutional Republicans. Myself, I'm involved with New Hampshire Committee of Safety and a gazillion other groups, and then the Secretary for Constitutional Republicans. And then you've got Dan Richard that's involved in constitutional Republicans, as well as New Hampshire Committee of Safety, and then working on, you know, real lawsuits and stuff like that. I did want to say that I think it is so important to, when we're talking about the constitutional Republican premise, and I'm just going to actually read exactly what it says on the website, because it's hard when the whole name was started, and I think Wes would probably speak to this. We didn't really want it to be Republicans, right? But in the sense of, because when people think Republicans, they think of party. We don't want to think about party. It wasn't about that. So we're basically saying constitutional people, you know, we're a constitutional republic. And so unfortunately, we want that to be like the case for the people that are representing us and just our regular citizens, like the ones that really want to bring it back to the basics. So that's the reason why that name came, and which has actually given us a little bit of a hardship just because of the party politics that are in New Hampshire in general. So we don't dedicate ourselves and band together simply to promote Team GOP or get anyone that calls themselves a Republican elected. We are bound by fidelity to belief and principal, not party affiliation. We stand with Samuel Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, and James Madison. We stand for limited government, for a constitutional republic. We stand for the intrinsic natural rights of the individual given by nature's creator over the power of the state or the will of the masses. We stand for rule of law and hold that not only legitimate function of government is to uphold just law, which protects the natural rights of all people and thus promotes industry and prosperity through the voluntary exchange of free people. We are organizing county committees, recruiting constitutional Republicans, training candidates and volunteers, holding elected officials accountable, and teaching the people how to take back, you know, in a sense, their general court and government. So there was an event that happened in December. I think it was December 5th was the date, and it was wonderful. It was kind of like our first pretty much presentation. We're going to do those, and there was many people that were involved. David LaRue was there, and of course West was there, and it was really successful. And so, and Dan Richard, of course, presented as well. And it had a, you know, each person presented for 5 to 10 minutes, and gave a lot of really valuable information to people that were in attendance. So we're going to do those throughout New Hampshire, and hopefully it would be great. You know, the idea is to have those, you know, once a month, once every 6 weeks in all of the different counties in New Hampshire. And just like Dave said, teaching and training and education, communication is so important. Well, I've just, you know, a little aside, in talking to a husband and wife that I met just the other day, they had absolutely no idea what is going on in our state government. And so I think that's the biggest important part of this. I love that 603 Alliance. I love that, Jim, you're on here, because I think that you guys have a great voice. You have a wonderful newsletter, and you have a lot of those establishment types that are in there. And we need to really change the rhetoric and tell people, to empower people, so they know what's going on in our local and state government. And so with that, I wanted to tell you that I am doing, we're going to do a lawsuit in Portsmouth. Portsmouth just instituted a mask mandate, and they did it illegally. It's all illegal anyway. And so one person, one unilateral person that's on the city council or whatever their title is, city manager, decided on her own that she was just going to institute a mask mandate. And so we're going to, that's our next endeavor, mine is anyway, this week, with a group of people that live in Portsmouth, and we're going to go after them. So that's me.
And that was Kelly, right?
Yep, it's Kelly.
It was hard to hear you, Kelly, but yeah. And recognize the voice. So, Kelly, thank you for organizing, and we'll go ahead and send out the spreadsheet with everyone's name for each group, and I will probably put next to it just kind of a quick layman's terms of what I understand each group to be doing, because there are a lot to get my arms around, and you guys can certainly correct me if I'm wrong when you see my quick narrative as to, when I think of your group, this is what I think of you guys doing. All right. We talked about 603 Alliance. We talked about raising up good candidates and getting them trained. Does 603 want to go next? Kind of a natural segue, or does somebody
sure.
else want to go next?
I can go next. So I want to talk about 603 and then a couple of other little things. So 603 Alliance is doing, right now is in the process of doing school board candidate training. So we are trying to recruit people to run for school board around the state. This is a little bit different from a state rep race in the sense that if we have too many good candidates, that actually can throw it to the competition. So we want to try to get the right number of candidates in each school district. If you are interested, or if you know anyone who is interested, I would ask you to email us at info@603alliance.org. I will put that in the chat afterwards. But we've conducted 2 school board trainings so far. We're doing another one next Saturday in Concord. We're doing one in Bedford on January 29th, which is the day after the end of the filing period. This is by invitation, which means that candidates should contact us. We will give them a survey. They need to complete a satisfactory survey in order to qualify to attend. We don't want to be training the other side, so to speak. So they need to have a satisfactory survey. I would say that most of our candidates are motivated by the fact that many school districts are still mandatory masking or threatening to mandatory mask, and we're sick and tired of that. And a lot of them are responding to wokeism in the schools. So that's what we're doing right now. Once we get figured out kind of what the districts are for state rep districts, you know, we're going to be working with some other folks around the state to see if we can recruit the most liberty-minded people possible. You know, we are, as I think somebody alluded to before, you know, we are committed to principles, not party. So we are supporting Republican candidates, but we are all too happy to primary Republican candidates who have not behaved themselves. And in fact, we all know who those folks are. I think that we're going to want to target and go negative on some of those worst offenders as we get into primary season, certainly, and see if we can get rid of any of those folks and replace them with somebody who believes in liberty. So we do we candidate trainings, which is generally a two-day process. We do multiple instances of those around the state. We also provide some support services and issues briefings and updates and things that are intended to help them be more effective in the process of campaigning. I want to mention, so that's kind of what the 603 Alliance is working on. There's a couple of other things that I want to mention briefly. I have a couple of bills. One of them is sort of came as an idea of something that Ed Mosca posted on Granite Rock, which is, if somebody mandates the vaccine and an employee refuses and therefore gets fired, then we should invalidate any and all non-compete agreements associated with that employment. That sounds like a little thing, but it is one of a number of bills that we have introduced, various people have introduced, to try to inflict as much pain as possible on employers who are mandating vaccines. So we're going to try to hit them with as many of these as we can. I have a hearing for that bill before the Labor Committee this Thursday afternoon. If anybody is interested in testifying or signing in support of that bill, I don't have the bill number handy, but that's Thursday afternoon. I think it's at 1:30, but it's relative to non-compete agreements. I also want to bring people's attention to the expansion of Medicaid to include dental coverage. The House passed this by a pretty wide majority the other day. I spoke against it. Because I spoke against it, it got some news coverage, and it's something that has not otherwise gotten news coverage. They wanted to put it on the consent calendar and just breeze it through without even a debate. But it's starting to get some attention, and I would love to see people push back against this attempt to grow big government even bigger here in New Hampshire. And it's really a special interest bill to benefit Delta Dental. There is a bill that Leah Cushman has introduced, which would issue standing orders for ivermectin at all pharmacies throughout the state, which essentially means that anybody who wants ivermectin could go to the pharmacy, say, I want my prescription, they could get it, and the pharmacy would have to fill it. So these are some of the things coming up. You know, very happy to share other bills as they come forward, but the non-compete one on Thursday is one that may interest some of the folks here. One other thing I want to mention that I'm working on is sort of pushing back against the New Hampshire School Boards Association. If you're not familiar with them, they are a nonprofit group. Your local school board probably uses some of your tax dollars to pay membership dues to the New Hampshire School Boards Association. They, in turn, have in the past paid dues to the National School Boards Association, which made headlines by sending a memo to Merrick Garland announcing that if you are a parent who wants to come to school board meetings, you're probably a terrorist. That was funded by your tax. That was funded by your tax dollars. Okay, New Hampshire School Boards Association has. They use your tax money to lobby against school choice. They use your tax dollars to lobby against your Second Amendment rights. They use your tax dollars to lobby against parental involvement in the schools. So, one of the things that I am putting together is a warrant article. This would be a petition warrant article that you can bring to your local school district. You need to get a certain number of signatures. I think it's 25. There is a deadline. And it would be a warrant article asking the voters of your district to declare that your district shall withdraw its membership from the New Hampshire School Boards Association. Even if you lose, you win, because it gets the conversation in front of voters who are probably not going to be happy that their tax dollars are being used this way. So sorry to be a little bit long-winded, but if you're interested in any of that, I'm going to put my email as well as the 603 Alliance email into the chat. I will get both of those, and I'll take any questions. Otherwise, you can reach out to us and see how we can work together.
Jim, I have a couple of quick questions. One, do you have a list of the school board vacancies that still need liberty-minded candidates running for them? Do you take inventory like that? We've been struggling really hard as a group to kind of get our arms around that.
We have mapped that out with the help of some friends in a group called DOK, Defend Our Kids. And so we have a map of exactly where we need coverage.
How do I get a copy of that?
I'm trying to reformat it this weekend. So can you email me, and then I'll get that to you.
Yeah. So just the email address that's on the website for 603, or is there a different email?
Yeah, either one. I'm putting both of them in the chat, or obviously the website address is just 603alliance.org.
Okay, and the deadline to run for school board member is what, next week? Is that right?
No, it's January 28th is the deadline. And so if you're in a city, some of the cities have their elections in November for school board, like Nashua and Manchester. Most are, definitely, most of the school boards in New Hampshire have that election in early March. If you're not familiar with the local processes, it's too much to go into here, but there are certain meetings in your town, in your school district that don't get many people showing up, and boy, we really could use people showing up at those, because it doesn't take a lot of voters to make a difference. But the filing period is January 19th until the 28th to file as a school board candidate.
Okay, thank you. Yeah,
I just wanted to quickly say.
Go ahead.
This is just Kelly really here. I just wanted to quickly say that I will put the websites, the people's addresses and all that. I have all that right at my hand, fingertips, and I'll send that over to you, Teresa, or send it to everybody that's on the call as well. And the Defend Our Kids, I'm not sure if people are familiar with that. That's the Daniel Richards that's up in Hanover that is suing his school board.
Awesome. Yeah, they're going heavily after the diversity, equity, and inclusion CRT stuff, and holding people accountable. And Dan has been a real champion of that effort.
I think he spells his last name Richardson or Richards with an S.
It's Richards with an S.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Jen. Thank you. Go ahead.
Is it okay?
Really, go ahead.
I have to head up north. If anyone wants to go to the vigil along the way, I am in Windham, headed all the way up. So it's about a 2-hour drive. Anybody wants to go with, maybe you could just put out a call to people. I'm happy to scoop anybody up along the way if they want to attend the vigil. I'm already picking up a couple people in the Contacook. I can't say it. Hopping into an area. Anyway, so I'm Felissa from the PatriotParty.rocks, one of the companies that I own, which is an event planning company for Patriot events. And then I recently just finished the Unite the Light with the Liberty Lantern. The most important thing that I'm doing, there's a couple people on this call that are already a part of it. There are town leaders, is Marigold Coffee Club, where we have been trying since September, at least since October or August, to get rid of the machines through warrant articles that are on the marigoldcoffeeclub.org. I'm one of the founders, and we're wrapping that up within the next 24 hours, and we'll be sending, I think, about 7 to 10 towns all of their petitions at exactly the same time. So we have Teresa's a town leader. We have Kristen. I see Kristen's on here, who's New Hampshire Patriot Hub. And I just thank everybody for their efforts, along with the legislation that's going through. Not that I don't trust Mark, but I really don't trust any of the legislation written by the people, the legislators themselves, because of SB 43. And we saw the result that happened with SB 43, and it was really for a fake audit. So I just really, if you guys can help us just do the last push, and then the next thing we're going to do, the next campaign we're going to be leading is the watermarked and QR coded ballots that cost 25 cents per ballot. We're going to be launching that as soon as we finish this. So, and then also, I thought the point of this was to give some ideas and things that we could all do together with our group. So my suggestion is that we have an emergency phone chain. So propagating down to people who maybe aren't in leadership, but that if we can at least have two people that we immediately engage in the phone tree, should something happen, like, you know, someone being in the emergency hospital where David is, putting together this candlelight vigil, he knew to reach out to me, and then I would reach out to someone else. If we can just have a phone tree, I'm not talking about, you know, if anything should happen with our internet. We should be doing that anyway, because we really don't want to be giving away everything that we're doing. And then also, I think that we should really be kind of talking to each other in the future meeting, if we're going to all get together again, about activism versus exhibitionism. Thank you, and God bless.
Hey, Therese, this is Dan. Hey, I want to touch on what Felissa just said and the importance of what she just said. My friend Richie Merritt went into CMC a month ago, was on a ventilator. He survived, thank God. But here was the problem. It goes right to her point. There wasn't the backup plan. His daughter, he takes care of his daughter. He's on Social Security disability. He's blind. He takes care of his daughter and his grandson. Well, she was horrified and out of sorts. We had no contact with Richie, and no one knew how to get a hold of him. There was no ability to intervene for what was happening to him. Fortunately, Wes is under good care. But we had no way of knowing. And so I just want a bad experience to everyone to take heed the importance that we need to have each other's backs. You know, thank God he's out of ICU. He's off oxygen. He's weak, but recovering, and he's made it through this. It could have been the other way. So I just want to emphasize to everyone how important it is, having suffered, you know, not being able to get a hold of my buddy for a month. So just, warning.
Yeah, I think emergency preparedness planning is something we've all been talking about. I know some of you were at the barn party at my house where we had just, you know, a atlas where people could elect to opt in to put their name for a Liberty directory. It's, you know, this kind of concern about, how do we vet people who have the information? But I think as leaders, we can vet each other enough to know, at least, you know, have a core group of a call tree. Like Felissa said, for whatever the needs might be that might come down the, you know, that we can't even forecast. I think that's a great takeaway. Kelly has this list that brought you all here together. If everyone's, we can get the thumbs up on everyone, we can at least get that list into everyone's hands as least, you know, something to have, and then maybe figure out how to build from there. So with that, who would like to go next? Marigold, that's been a great, fun learning process for me to get 25 signatures in my town and find out that we can have a yes-no vote. I hope we can get a clean sweep with Mark Allegro's legislation this week. We have people showing up to We had a graphic designer do a big flyer on that. We're trying to get a lot of support behind that. But I think, again, it goes to show parallel paths. If we can't do it on a large sweeping progress, we got to do whatever bit we can. And if that's just focusing on our own town first, then we just got to keep doing. So with that, who would like to go next?
Hi, this is Leah Cushman.
Hey, Leah.
Is it okay if I go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay, I'm in my car and there's a weird...
What are you arresting this man for?
You've seen the dramatic Liberty arrests in Keene, New Hampshire. Now see 111 reasons why you should move there and reinforce these gutsy activists. Keene's advantages are compelling, and the list of reasons to move has just been updated. For details, visit freekeen.com.